Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's episode is going to be a little bit TMI. I should just put that out there right from the get-go. Did you just snort laugh? Because we're going to talk about my colonoscopy and my endoscopy. And the reason we are doing this is because, well, two reasons. One, when I mentioned that I was going to have my first colonoscopy, I got a lot. I mean, we're talking a lot of responses from people saying, I need to have a colonoscopy. I'm really scared. Or my mother died from colon cancer and I really want to have a colonoscopy, but just to make sure, but I'm really scared about the process. Or I've heard so many things about the prep and it scares me so much that that's the reason I haven't had a colonoscopy. And one of the things that I learned in the process of having a colonoscopy is that colon cancer is one of the number one killers for people who are under 50, I believe. I need to look that up for sure. But, and so this is an easily catchable, is that the right word?
Detectable
sort of thing by having a colonoscopy. I heard from so many people that they caught colon cancer early through having a colonoscopy and were able to get treated and they're living a normal life now. And so that's really my heart behind. I decided to share very openly on Instagram the whole process of prepping because I was nervous about it too. Like I didn't know what to expect. And there are a lot of horror stories out there about how awful it is. And there are a lot of different ways to prep for a colonoscopy. And so I did a lot of research. I got a lot of feedback and advice from thousands and thousands of people online. And I basically culled all of that together, obviously under the direction of my doctor, and had a really great experience, like way better than I expected. And I think that there were some specific things that I did that made the prep much easier. And also, I think that there is this fear out there of what a colonoscopy is. It's almost like the fear of the unknown. Sure. And so I wanted to really pull back the curtain and be like, let me just share my experience so that you don't have to be afraid of not knowing what it's like. So as I did that on Instagram, I got so many, many, many questions. And I answered as many of them as I could, but I continued to get so many more that I decided we're going to do a podcast episode from start to finish of just my entire experience so that people can listen to it as a whole versus if you want to see pictures and videos, obviously not of the colonoscopy, but just kind of some of the prep and what I ate and all of that. I share all that on Instagram. We will link to my Instagram highlight, but that's kind of these little bite-sized pieces. And so this is going to be the entire experience and what it was like. And also some of your perspective, Jesse, because you got some perspective that I didn't have because I was actually passed out afterwards. And I'm going to tell you an interesting tidbit that I found out from one of my followers from that. So first off, why I had a colonoscopy. Many people have colonoscopies just as a routine thing. It's kind of put up there with a mammogram that you should have one because when you get to a certain age, obviously you are more susceptible to possibly having colon cancer. And like I said, it's something that they can detect early and treat it and it can save your life. So it's recommended sometime between 45 and 50 that you have a colonoscopy. For some people, it's different. If you have a history of colon cancer, from what I understand, you are much more susceptible to getting colon cancer if you have a history of it. But the reason that I had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy was not just as a routine procedure. I actually had it because I have had chronic anemia for years. We're talking over 20 years at least, possibly from the time I was very young. We do not know. The first time, I believe, I need to go back and look at my baby book, but I do believe that possibly I was anemic actually when I was young. But I know that in my first pregnancy, very quickly, like the first time they did blood work, my hemoglobin was very low. They were very concerned. And that has been the story of my life. Every pregnancy, I would get very anemic. We'd have to work really, really hard, eat a lot of red meat, cook in cast iron, take a lot of different supplements, be really, really, just really, really on top of it. Because in my second pregnancy, I didn't stay on top of it and ended up in the hospital because my hemoglobin and my platelets were so low that they thought there was something else like leukemia or something. So I've had chronic anemia, but I didn't really ever get blood work done outside of being pregnant. And so we just always assumed it was pregnancy-induced anemia, which many women have. And, you know, as your body is growing a baby, obviously it's going to be basically sucking the life out of you. And so it, you tend to be more anemic because your body is absorbing so much iron to grow the baby. So the only time I had my blood work done, I believe when I wasn't pregnant for over the course of like 16 years, was after I was hospitalized with Caitlin when I was so anemic. And they ended up inducing me early. And then we went back in, I believe it was 2 weeks later, and they tested and it had gone up significantly. And so they were not, like, I was out of the danger zone. And so then that's where we're just like, okay, confirms, you know, it was still low, but they were like, okay, that confirms that it's just pregnancy induced anemia going away. So I believe that I've probably always, I mean, for at least the last 20 plus years, been anemic. And the reason I say that is because it's not like, you know, I feel way better. Okay, hold up. Let me say this. So then in the last few years, because I've done blood work through Function Health and then through my functional medicine doctor, and we did the other, what was the other blood work that we did?
23andMe.
No, not 23andMe. No. It was the other.
No, I know.
It'll come to you.
Yes, it will come to me.
We did a podcast on it, but it was a long time ago. Anyway, it's like Function.
Inside Tracker.
Yes, Inside Tracker. And each time I would always get low readings for my, and you know, my hemoglobin. But I honestly, because it's been so long and because I don't really, it, like they weren't in the danger zone, but it was very, you know, low, what would be considered low. And then in the last year, I had never paid attention to my ferritin levels. And my sister actually was being treated for having really low ferritin. And she asked me what my ferritin levels were. And I was like, oh, I don't have any issues with my ferritin. And I said, let me go look it up. And so I went and looked it up and it was 17, which I think you're supposed to be much higher than that, let's just say. And she was like, that's really low for ferritin. And I was like, okay, I didn't know that. And so I have just, I've gotten so used to living like this. And I think when you've had hemoglobin that was like 7, then if you have anything that is over, like I can tell if it dips below 9, but anything over that, that's just normal for me. Like that's what I've lived with for so long that I just, you know, I mean, I think it's supposed to be 13. And I'm like, I wouldn't know what to do if mine were 13, you know? So I've never seen that kind of reading.
I think yours was 11 last time, right?
Yes. So I, in the last year then, so it had been pretty low. And not like, again, not dangerously low, but like on the low, like 10.2 or something. And so then that was something that obviously with my Function Health readings and recommendations, and then with when I started working with a functional medicine doctor, like it's like you need to get this taken care of. So I started eating a lot more red meat. I started doing more supplementation, and I can get it up to 11, but that's with working really, really hard. And so my functional medicine doctor was like, "We need to get to the root of this." And she didn't say it, but I found out later, anemia is actually a marker of colon cancer. So that is a big reason, from what I understand, of why they would immediately be like, you should do a colonoscopy. But also there's a lot of other things that they can check for with an endoscopy, that your body might not be absorbing iron correctly. There could be something else. I don't understand all of the different things, but they're checking for a lot of different things in doing this. So that was the reason. And also she was like, you're almost 45, you know, we might as well just do this. So I said yes to doing it because I'm like, you know what? I would like to get to the root of why I've had chronic anemia. And so signed up for it, didn't even know what it meant. And honestly, I had decided that I wasn't even going to look, I wasn't going to research, I wasn't going to watch videos, I wasn't going to do anything to really understand what a colonoscopy was, because I am someone who can be a little bit squeamish when it comes to those kinds of things. And if I knew what they were doing, I thought that it would make me just a little bit more apprehensive of the process. But I did research a lot about what the prep was. And I did ask for my audience to share any tips and advice. And I got so many tips and advice. And I was really looking for things that were being said again and again and again and again and again. Because that's, you know, if a lot of people are saying the same thing, like, don't do this or do this, pay attention to that. So I decided, based upon the feedback that I got, that I was going to be really careful what I ate, like the 5 days leading up to the colonoscopy, because that is basically going to be what's in your system that you're going to have to clean out. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it as easy as possible for the clean out. So in order for them to do a colonoscopy, you have to have nothing basically in your body, like no, I don't even know what you would say, what the terminology would be, like no bowel material, basically. I mean, mm-hmm. like everything has to be cleaned out. They want it to be a very clean colon in order for them to be able to see. So I was like, I'm going to make it as easy as possible to do the clean out process, which we'll talk about. But because a lot of people told me that they, you know, kind of thought in their head, like, oh, I'm going to be cleaning everything out of me. I want to eat a lot beforehand. And then that made it way worse because eating a lot is not going to help you because it's just going to mean that you have more to clean out. The other thing that a lot of people said they wish they wouldn't have done is like not eating things that are going to be acidic, because that's going to burn when it's coming out. And so one of the things that my doctor recommended was to go on a low residue diet 24 hours before you start the prep process. I decided, you know what? I'm going to start it. I actually started it 4 days before, and I was very religious about it for 3 days. Like the 5 and 4 day mark, I was careful with what I ate. And then by the 3 day mark, I was eating very low residue, which basically means no fiber. So no fruits, no vegetables, obviously nothing like beans. And you're just eating really bland food, like crackers, cheese, like yogurt that has no fruit in it. I had pancakes. You can have butter. You can have honey. They said you could have ice cream. I don't think I ended up having ice cream, but just really, really bland foods. And if you're interested in exactly what I ate, I have an Instagram reel that I did on one day of my eating. It's basically like carb loading. So what it felt like. What was interesting to me though, and you could have like chicken and rice and things like that. I was just really careful. I just tried to go with very, very bland foods. But what was interesting to me is that you would think on that kind of diet, you would feel gross and also kind of just feel like constipated. And I did not. I think because I realized that usually I'm eating such a good combination of foods together, like fats, carbs, protein, that I was mostly eating carbs, and it almost felt like my body just, I was hungry. I mean, I was hungry on that. It was like it wasn't staying in my body. That's how it felt. And I was like, I thought fiber is what is supposed to help, you know, everything go through you, but apparently if you don't eat a good combination, it just doesn't stay in your body very well. So I feel like even starting on the low residue diet a few days before, my body was already in this process of kind of just like things were not staying in me, which was good. You do that for I did that for 3 days, but you're supposed to do it for at least 24 hours. And then you get to the where you do a liquid only diet, and it's clear liquids only, which is very important. Like, I was in my head thinking liquid only diet. Oh, no big deal. Clear right. liquids are very different than liquids only. And that is because most clear liquids hardly have any calorie content.
Right.
And you're thinking like, this is like broth and clear juices, and you can have popsicles, tea. You know, basically they said, if you can see through it, you can drink it, except for not oil or alcohol or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can have sugar too, but you can't have cream. So it's like, you know, tea with sugar or tea with honey. I just found that because I'd been doing the low residue diet for 3 days, was already like losing weight and hungry by the time I got to the clear liquids day. That was by far the hardest part for me, just because I was so hungry. And I had thought it would be no big deal. And honestly, the reason I thought it would be no big deal was because I'd had the parasite when I came back from India. And for 3 weeks, I didn't eat that much, because every time I would eat, it would upset my stomach. And so I lived on mostly Sprite, ginger ale, any like carbonated clear beverages, and cake. Those were the things. And so I was like, you know what? For 3 weeks, I hardly ate anything. Like, I can do 24 hours. But no, I was really hungry. By 11 o'clock, I was not able to really work. I had to go lay down. Like, I had so much brain fog. I was just so weak and woozy. And so I would recommend, for sure, on the day that you're supposed to eat clear liquids, eat, I guess is a generous term.
Right.
That you not plan that you're going to, you know, if you have a job that's pretty strenuous, takes a lot of your brain, probably just take that day off, because you are likely not going to have a lot of energy on that day. By 11 o'clock, I said to you, I need you to go to the store and I need you to get me some Jell-O and some Italian ice. And then I also, you went to Starbucks and you got me a tea with honey, just for something different.
Yeah.
I also very quickly, like broth, I had some broth, and then it was just disgusting. Like, pretty much everything that I could eat sounded disgusting very quickly to me.
Yeah.
But Jell-O was nice. The only thing is, you could only have certain kinds of Jell-O, because you cannot have anything that is blue or purple or red, because that can, and technically like pink, some places say orange. I did have some orange because my doctor only said red or blue or purple, but because it can stain the inside of your colon and it can look like blood. And so it can give you a bad test result that is not like a false positive of that there's like blood in places that there shouldn't be. So anyway, it kind of limits, you know, when it comes to things like popsicles or Jell-O. I feel like the better flavors are typically the ones that
most of them are
red and the, you know,
food
purple.
That you can't have.
Yes.
So wasn't it recommended that you don't have anything that you really like?
They recommended, a lot of people recommended, like, this was especially when you got to the prep part, like, don't mix in the Miralax and stuff, which we'll talk about in a minute, with a drink that you really love, because you're probably not going to like that drink once you've done this prep. So yes, we got juice, ginger ale, broth, and then I ended up in popsicles. You went and got me the Italian ice, which was really nice to have something to eat with a spoon. I feel like I would highly recommend that. Also Jell-O. Next time around, I would get the full sugar Jell-O, because that was the other thing. A lot of the stuff that we got, I just wasn't really thinking, but like the popsicles, they were, I think, no sugar popsicles. And then you looked and was like, each popsicle is 15 calories. And it was like the Jell-O, each little Jell-O cup was 10 calories. I mean, that was the thing. It was just like
hardly anything.
Yes. So you would eat this whole thing and you had eaten 10 calories. And so that's where it was just like hard to feel like satiated at all. So that day was a challenge. It also made me just really have this perspective of people who are truly hungry. Like, people are truly starving, people who can't eat food, like everything is through a feeding tube, or people who have to eat a liquid only diet all the time, and how I feel like disgusting that would get really quickly. You just want to like chew something, which, by the way, I did find out that you can have gummy bears. I think they have to be like the clear or yellow gummy bears, but you
those ones are bad.
Well, people, I mean, I don't know. We'll wait till you have your colonoscopy. Wait,
what,
but
what
I think,
about the sugar-free Haribo?
Yes. Oh, yes. That people said, read the reviews on Amazon. They will just start cleaning you out before you even start the cleaning out process. But I also was thinking, I bet that you could have a slushy like from Sonic or something. I feel like you could probably have like a limeade slushy.
Yeah.
Or something. That was something I hadn't thought about until later. I was like, oh, that would have been a good one to do something like that. Or I think to freeze apple juice, or like to freeze some things so that it would be in slushy form at least. And would feel like it was a little bit more solid than just, because the popsicles, that was one thing that did taste really good. And the Italian ice was really good. And I think the tea with honey from Starbucks, just having like a Starbucks cup, it just felt like, okay, this is something. Anyway. It made me think a lot too about, you know, like people who are in concentration camps and who had were given this like little tiny bowl of gruel once a day, and then expected to go out and work and do crazy manual labor and do that day in and day out, day in and day out, when they didn't hardly have any clothes and it was super cold. I mean, it just, I'm like, this was such a drop in the bucket, but it really gave me this different perspective. And I also think of the thing of just how much we rely upon food. And it made me think about, like, people were asking me, have you never fasted before? And that is one thing, like, I typically can only fast for one meal, because otherwise I get very, very woozy and lightheaded.
Amoir makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Amoir, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved Amoir, and I have to tell you, one of the favorite things of Amoir for me has been that it can help you to define your personal style. I'm not someone who automatically just knows, oh, this and this and this goes together and will look great on my body type. I love how they pick items for you based upon your style, based upon your size, and then you get to look on there and be like, which one of these do I think I'd like to try out? You're not buying it, you're trying it. And so I've tried out a lot of different styles that I usually wouldn't, because I'm just renting it. And here is the interesting thing. I have discovered some styles that I never would have, that I've fallen in love with. In fact, I have a pair of overalls and a pair of jeans that I have gotten from Amoir that became part of my wardrobe that I kept because I loved them so, so much. And to this day, I wear that pair of jeans multiple times a week, and I wear that pair of overalls. If you follow me on Instagram, you know the pair of overalls I'm talking about, but probably once or twice every single week. And so this helps you to be able to try some new things without spending the money on them that you typically would, because they're such high quality products. And if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for your body type, if it doesn't work for your style, you can send it right back. Right now, my listeners can give Amoir a try and get up to 60% off their first month. That's up to $150 off. Just visit amoir.style/crystal. That is amoir.style. amoir.style/crystal to get up to 60% off your first month, and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoir today.
So at the end of that day, then at 4 p.m., I was supposed to take 4 Dulcolax, however you pronounce it, tablets. And then at 6 p.m. was supposed to start the Miralax Gatorade potion, as we'll call it. everything that I had heard from so many people was that this was the part that would get real bad. And some people, many people said that they slept in the bathroom. They were up all night and basically it was just like you were just would just be on the toilet. And a lot of people told me like, make sure that you, you know, put Vaseline on your, you know, where and like use really good toilet paper because you're just going to be burning and red and raw like a baby's bottom when they have a diaper rash. And so I had prepped myself that, oh, it's going to be really, really bad. But because I'd done the low residue diet, then I did the clear liquids. The Dulcolax completely cleaned me out. Like it was, and there was 1 hour where I was very miserable. And like, I called you, you were at baseball practice and I called you. I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, because I was very nauseous and I was thinking once I start taking the Miralax, I'm going to start throwing up and this is going to be awful because it's going to be coming out both ends. And I'm going to be, I was so sick to my stomach, but it was just that 1 hour. And it, I feel like it was like it was like it broke up everything in my system. It all came out. And then like, that was it. Like that was all.
The Miralax didn't really do anything to.
There was nothing left for the Miralax to clean out. And so it was a gift and it was a blessing because, so you were supposed to do an entire, I don't know how many ounces was that Miralax?
32.
It was the large bottle of Miralax powder.
Oh, that, I don't remember.
It was, anyway, it was a lot of Miralax powder. So you dumped it into, you're supposed to split it in half into 2 36-ounce bottles of whatever kind of electrolyte liquid you wanted. I chose Gatorade because I don't like Gatorade. I don't drink Gatorade. And so there was nothing, like if it was awful, it wasn't going to ruin something for me.
Right.
And we got the clear Gatorade and
white Gatorade.
Yeah. And honestly, I expected it to taste way worse. I think because I was really, really hungry at that point, It actually did not taste bad at all. And I think the electrolytes, I really needed them. And that was one thing I would have done differently on the clear liquids day. I wish that I would have started the day drinking electrolytes because I think that would have really helped me have more energy. I wish, I love the Element packets, the LMNT is how you, we call them Element packets. And I wish that I would have just had some ice water with that, like first thing in the morning. I think that would have been really helpful because once I had the Gatorade, you had to drink, like I had mixed it into 3 smaller bottles and then refrigerated them. So it was nice and cold with the Miralax. You couldn't taste the Miralax. And once I had drank, I think a bottle and a half, I actually felt a lot better because The Gatorade bottles themselves, I think were 160 calories.
Yeah.
And electrolytes. And so I felt so much better because I actually had more calories in my system and I had electrolytes. And so which the wise, like I would have started the day with electrolytes and started the day with a higher calorie, some type of drink, instead of just doing things that were basically almost no calories the entire day. And so I mean, at the end of, you know, I would say you had to chug it within 2 hours. So you had to do 36 ounces within 2 hours. It really wasn't bad. I just sat and watched When Calls the Heart and chugged my Gatorade. And basically, I was just sipping it like a little bit at a time. And that night, I kept waiting for things to get really bad and they didn't. So finally, I went to bed and then I woke up twice in the night. And that was it. Went right back to sleep. Then at 5:30 the next morning, had to do another round of the Miralax in Gatorade. It, again, wasn't bad. 2 hours. Then the deal was at 7:30, I was not able to eat or drink anything. So that was like, I definitely got thirsty. But it wasn't as bad as the day before. And honestly, I think it was because I had drank 3 bottles of Gatorade. And so They were 160 calories each. So I'd actually started out the day with like how many calories? That was a lot of calories, like, and a lot of electrolytes and sugar and stuff. So I felt better, definitely felt a lot better that day than the day before because I just had more calories in my system. So we went in to the place, checked in. I'm trying to think if there's anything that like nothing. It was a very smooth check-in. They called me right back. My procedure was supposed to start at 12:30. I think they called me back at noon. And basically it's just, you had to, you know, get fully undressed, put on a gown. And then they hooked me up to an IV. Oh, you have to take a pregnancy test too, which, by the way, one of my sisters, this is how she found out she was pregnant a number of years ago, was because she went in for a colonoscopy and they did the pregnancy test and hers was positive. So anyway, did a pregnancy test and then hooked me up to an IV, which I honestly was not expecting. And that this was the part of the colonoscopy that I wasn't expecting. And that was, I've only been sedated two other times in my life. One was for I had a small mass on my cervix that was removed. And the other was for, when we were in fertility treatments, they had to go in and like look at my fallopian tubes, I think it was. And so it was like, they basically put something through your tubes and make sure there was no blockage. And with that one, they just gave me a shot. And then I was basically like pretty out of it, but still like with it enough that, hey, it was this weirdest thing. You're kind of like in and out. And I don't know what the shot was, but it hurt really bad. But I was like a little bit conscious when it was happening.
Sure.
But not enough to really, like, I couldn't feel anything, but you knew what, but he was just kind of out of it. And with the mass of my cervix, I did kind of go under, but just a little bit. And it was such a short thing. Like I woke up at the end of the procedure. They were still finishing up the procedure. I was still in the room and everything. So I expected it to be like one of those things. And I don't even know with the mass of my cervix. I'm like, did they give me an IV? I don't remember an IV. So that was the thing that was surprising to me. I was not expecting an IV. I don't know what I was expecting, if they were going to just like put a little mask on me and it was going to sedate me, or if they were going to give me a shot. I don't know. And then they wheeled me into that procedure room. And it was funny because I was talking with the anesthesiologist and they were getting me all set up, and they like had to prop me up a certain way because obviously they're having to like, you know, stick this whole tube up you. And then they put this bite guard thing in my mouth that had like a hole in it. And that was uncomfortable. And I remember thinking like, this is so silly, but I remember thinking, I hope I can fall asleep because I'm going to be really uncomfortable if I'm sort of in and out of this procedure. And like, I'm conscious enough that I know what's going on. Like, this is like, they're sticking something down me and up me. Like, I'm just, I don't want to be awake during any of this part. And so the guy goes, okay, I'm going to start the anesthesia. You're going to feel like a little bit of a spicy thing going through you. And like immediately when he said that, like I feel this kind of like shot of spicy going through, which is so weird. Like how do you feel like spicy in your arm? But, and then like, in my vision,
was it cold?
Yes.
It felt cold. It was like saline.
And then my vision goes blurry. Like it was like 1 second. My vision, like I remember, it's just like, I just like, it's all blurred. And then nothing like that. It was like 1 second. And the next thing I know is like, somebody's yelling over me, you need to wake up. You need to wake up, or something like that. Like it felt like she was yelling over me, like, Crystal, wake up. And I was passed out cold. One thing I was also going to back up and say that was interesting. I've had many IVs in my life for many different reasons, getting fluids and multiple times when I've been hospitalized and, you know, giving birth and all of that. But I don't believe I've ever had, they gave me a shot to numb the area before they put the IV in. And that was so fantastic because so many times when I've had an IV in, it's been really uncomfortable and really hurt me.
Okay.
And so she gave me, so I was so confused when she put the IV in because she gave me a shot. And then I was like, she's like, okay, it's going to be a prick. And like, I was like preparing myself for like how it feels when they put an IV in, which is, I don't like having an IV in. Like, it's just uncomfortable. Like you just feel like your skin is being pulled and there's this needle in there and stuff. And I was, she gave me that. She said, there's going to be a prick. And then she did it and I wasn't paying attention. And then I looked over and there's no IV in. And I was so confused. And I thought, did the needle, like, was there an issue or whatever? And she goes, oh, I just gave you a numbing shot. So yeah, I highly recommend a numbing shot before you get an IV, because that was the easiest, nicest IV I've ever had in my life.
Interesting.
So anyway, back to, so I was passed out cold. I mean, like, it is the weirdest thing. So it's a certain kind of drug that they give you for a colonoscopy. It starts with a P. Somebody told me it was what Michael Jackson used. And that's like it's a drug that people abuse oftentimes because it is. So yes, now you're going to look it up. Now you're going to look it up. It's like PRO something or other. Anyway, look it up. You can give us the details. But everybody had told me that the colonoscopy was like this nice nap. And when they woke me up, I did not want to wake up.
Propofol.
Okay. Do they give it for other things besides colonoscopies? Because people talked about how it seems like that's what they get for colonoscopies, but I don't know if they use it for...
It's just an anesthetic.
But I think it's one that's not as... It's like something that they would give for like smaller procedures, not...
Mm-hmm.
Like if they were doing like a major surgery, you would never give something like that.
No, for a major surgery, you would have a concoction of various...
Yes, different
inhalants.
Things. Yes. The other thing that I was not expecting is they put oxygen on me. I was not expecting that either. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know why obviously they didn't have that on me whenever they did the endoscopy, but whenever I was laying there, they put oxygen on me. So I don't know if there was something in, like he just said, oh no, I'm sorry. He just put the oxygen. It was just a nasal cannula. Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking mask for some reason. No, it was a nasal cannula. And I did not expect that either, because I definitely have not had that before.
It's described as a fast acting, short duration, intravenous sedative hypnotic agent, widely used to induce and maintain general anesthesia, provide sedation in ICU settings, and for diagnostic procedures.
Okay. Well, let me just say that if I didn't love my life, if I was miserable, you would want more of that drug. Like, I can absolutely see how people could get addicted to something like that, because it is this, like it said, hypnotic. It was the weirdest thing to wake up from. And you were like in deep, deep sleep. And she's like, Crystal, wake up. And I literally wanted to say to the lady, please let me sleep. Like,
yeah, you were sleeping really well.
And so I guess a lot of times people come right to out of the colonoscopy.
Okay. This is interesting. The most frequent side effects are decreased blood pressure.
Oh, interesting.
That's one of them.
Okay. So when they brought me into the recovery room and I was passed out.
Sorry, I'm nerding out a little bit, but is favored for its quick onset, 30 to 60 seconds.
Well, it was like 1 second for me. So, but okay. So somebody told me, and I can't remember what she was a very credentialed person. She messaged in and she said, the way that you responded to it tells me that you have a certain kind of gene. It was either like a gene mutation or something that your body
knew you weren't normal.
Yeah. Your body passes out with this kind of, whatever it was called,
propofol.
Mm-hmm. Propofol. And that some people, there is like a certain, like a third of the people will, if they will have this gene mutation or something, that you will respond like I did, where you're passed out cold and they have a very hard time waking you up. And you said that they came in and they tried multiple times to wake me up. The doctor came in and talked to you. I was in there for like 20.
The doctor didn't try to wake you up.
She came in. Just sleeping. But typically I think you talk, like I would have been awake for the doctor. And you said I was in there like in the recovery room for 20 minutes.
Something like that.
Before I woke up. And I think that's correct, because it was an hour that I was out. And they told me that the procedure would only be 30 minutes. So anyway, when I woke up, did not want to wake up. I was like, let me go back to sleep. That was amazing. Can I have 3 more hours of that? Or I'll take 8 more hours of that, whatever. Like, right. I do not want to be waking up right now. But they made me sit up. They made me drink Sprite. They were such difficult people. Like, it was so frustrating to me. It was really funny because I was so out of it. And like, I didn't say anything, but there was like this part inside of me that wanted to kind of be rude, of being like, seriously, why are you waking me up? Like, I was having a really good nap. Why are you making me do this? Like, that was how I was feeling inside. But gratefully, even though I was under the influence of drugs, I had enough self-control to like be kind. I was very kind, I think. But I was really out of it. Like, there's a picture on Instagram, we can link to it, where I looked so groggy. I was so groggy. And what was the most interesting thing then is that the next few hours, like, I was just out of it. It was like, I could talk with you. You could talk to me. I could say words. You could say words. But the words didn't really make sense to me. Like, Catherine had called. She was on speakerphone and she wanted to tell me this whole thing that had happened in her day. And she was telling me all about it. And I could understand all of the words, but like, I couldn't put them together for what she was telling me. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, each individual word made sense, but like, the words all as a whole did not make sense. It was very weird.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It was so weird. And finally, I said to her, I really want to hear your story. Like, I could talk. Like, I was totally coherent, but it was like, I really want to hear your story, but I cannot understand what you're saying right now. You're going to have to tell me later. And she's like, yeah, mom, you were really out of it. But then I wanted to eat, but because I'd had an endoscopy and they'd done 4 biopsies, like, my throat hurt. And they said, you can only have soft foods, which is funny because I had been like really looking forward to what I was going to eat after the colonoscopy because I was hungry. And then I didn't want to eat anything that wasn't a soft food. And so we went and got mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. And I was so out of it. Like, I was just like scarfing down the mashed potatoes, but also trying to eat the mac and cheese. And like, Micah was in the back seat and he wanted some mac and cheese. So I went to hand it back to him and I was like, don't drop it. That is the best mac and cheese I've ever had in my life. Like, don't drop it. And so I went to take the mac and cheese from him and I dropped it because I was so out of it. And then I wanted that mac and cheese so bad. I ate it off of the floor of the car. Like, it was this is why they said, do not drive. Like, do not drive. Do not make big decisions. Because if I'm eating mac and cheese off the floor of the car.
Yeah. They specifically said, don't buy any houses. Don't buy a car.
I definitely was not making good decisions, but that mac and cheese.
I should have taken advantage
of that. The mac and cheese tasted really good until I got to the hair. And then that didn't taste so good. I did catch that before I swallowed it. And then I was like, you cannot be eating mac and cheese off the floor of the car. This is not good. Anyway. And it was funny though, because there was a call on my phone and I showed you, and it was the doctor's office. And so I was thinking, oh, did they need to tell me something? And so you're like, call them back. So, and I'm thinking, I probably shouldn't be calling them back in the state that I am in. But I called them back. And it was like, I couldn't really figure out what they were saying. And I finally figured out, like, I had to repeat it back to her. And I just wanted to be like, honey, I just got out of surgery. So I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth right now. But she was saying that I needed to go and pick up, they wanted me to do a stool test as well. And so I needed to go pick up the kit or whatever for that. But it took me the longest time. Then I was like, okay, when do I need to pick this up? And it was like, I just couldn't compute the things. It was weird. But within a few hours, I was pretty well back to normal. I didn't drive for 24 hours and I would not recommend driving for 24 hours after that. But a lot of people asked me, like, did you have any pain? No pain whatsoever. Like, you could not tell that you had had a procedure done except for like deep down in my esophagus or whatever it was. Like, you just could feel it down in my, and not my throat, but you know what I mean? Like, down there, it felt like somebody, like, you drink really hot coffee or tea and it had like burned down there. That's what it felt like. And so you didn't want to eat anything. Like, I was, like, there were some chips, like some salted chips, and I wanted to eat them. And I tried and I like chewed it really, really well. And then it just felt so awful when I went down. I was like, no, I have to have soft foods. I can't, you know, but that just lasted for a day and then it was done. So yeah, no, like afterwards, there was no recovery, no nothing. One thing that people did suggest is kind of slowly moving into eating normal foods since your body has been completely cleaned out. And I would say like, it was sort of like your digestive system has to kind of rev up again or something. And so I would recommend doing that a little bit. Like, I think it was good to eat soft foods and kind of get back. Don't go eat like a juicy, greasy burger or something like that. But it was, yeah, like within, by the next day, I was fully, fully back to functioning like normal. So yeah, that was it. We are waiting on the results from the biopsy. I also need to do the other test. She said something to you about another scope. I don't know because I didn't talk to the doctor, didn't see the doctor. So we are waiting on those results and we will see. I don't know. There is the potential, which is crazy, but there's the potential that I have celiac, which is something that they can diagnose from this. And it can be silent celiac, which is, I would never in a million years thought that I would be someone who would have celiac. But it basically is that it destroys your small intestine and then, which is what absorbs iron. And so your body's not able to absorb iron because the gluten has destroyed it because you're celiac. So that is one thing that I'm steeling myself for, but my colon and my esophagus were great. Yep, like she said, really they were good. She gave us pictures to bring home, which I thought was really cool. Some people were like, my doctor offered to give me pictures. And I thought that was the weirdest thing ever. And I was like, I brought home my pictures and showed them to all my family. I thought it was really cool. She said everything looked great, but we'll just wait for the results of the biopsy and stool test and then go from there. So there is all the details, maybe way more details than you ever needed to know. 45 minutes worth of details on my colonoscopy. But if you've ever wondered what a colonoscopy was like and an endoscopy, there you go. You did not have to do the clean out for the endoscopy, by the way, but for the colonoscopy, yes. So if you've gotten a colonoscopy before, if you have any thoughts, if you have any feedback, I'd love to hear how the medicine or anesthesia affected you. And if you have any funny stories and what you learned and what you would do differently next time. But overall, it was a really good experience. And I would say, don't be afraid of it. Just prepare, be prepared. And it's a great nap.
Right.
Have a great week. And we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.